and praise you on the day of your resurrection. We can get together here to remember you and also to enjoy you. Lord, you know how much your enemy hates this. Together we bind him, Lord. Lord, we give this meeting to you. We pray for your rich presence. Lord, we give all of us into your hand. We pray that your victorious blood will cleanse each and every one of us so we can all enjoy your fresh anointing. We pray in your precious name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I think by now, many of you know that we are on this matter of the money, right? Okay. But in the past few months, even more than a year, we three brothers, James and Ed and I myself, we have repeated, I don't know how many times, that we really thank the Lord. In the past more than 40 years, we three brothers have been serving together, not just only serving together, but we always serving together in oneness. Because all three of us are very clear about one thing, that is clearly you can see in the Bible. That is, if any group or meeting or church, whatever, want to have blessing, you have to be one. If any group or church or whatever, even something in the world, that if they lost or have problems, if they fight with each other, then right away the blessing will leak out. We three brothers, we know this very well. That's why we can work together for more than 40 years, but yet we're still one. That does not mean that we always agree with each other. From time to time, sometimes we may have different feelings or different opinions, but we will never lose the oneness. Now, if we have different opinions, what should we do? It is not that I try to convince you and he tries to convince anyone. No. We always pray together. It is not your opinion win the other. We never had that thought. Rather, we will pray together and we will go to the Lord together. It is not anyone's opinion. It is the Lord's opinion. And only the Lord's opinion counts. That's why for us to learn how to speak to the Lord and how to hear the Lord's voice. If you don't speak to the Lord, how can you listen to the Lord's voice? Then how do you know what is the Lord's feeling? Therefore, that is extremely important. That's why I repeated this again and again. If you really want to serve the Lord, especially serve the Lord in the church, then we all need to learn how to have fellowship with the Lord. And so, then we again, I repeat once more, all three of us always in the one accord. And at this time, we also have a same feeling and a concern. And what is our feeling now today? Our feeling is, we're really concerned for the future of the church in New York here. And so we believe, and from time to time, we also mention this, that is around 1949, you know, the China changed its government, and therefore many Christians will go to Taiwan, and also some went to the Philippines. And so then the number of Christians really increased very much. One good thing is that when these Christians, especially when they went to Taiwan, they all had strong burden to preach the gospel. Therefore, the number of the Christians in Taiwan increased. I don't know, how do you say? It's not only double, not only triple. It is from something like around 500 to about 50,000. And so that during those years, especially in Taiwan and also in the Philippines, they had many rich people. And these rich people, they really wanted to give their money to the church and to the Lord's work. And therefore, in the first few years, the work in Taiwan and the Philippines really go on very quickly. But now, we don't have many rich people. And but does that mean we just retire? No. Actually, to depend on a few rich brothers or sisters is not the normal condition. And the normal condition is that we all have to bear the responsibility. We're all in the same big families. And so this is something we want to convey to all the brothers and sisters. That's why lately we did spend some time to fellowship concerning this matter of the giving. You have already heard this about the giving for some time now. And so we really need to have a normal condition. The normal condition is for all the saints to give themselves to the Lord. Now, you may think, or you may say, God does not need our money. Yes, God does not need our money. He needs our heart. But the problem is, our heart is always attached to the money. Therefore, you can say, God does not need our money. But please, do not stop there. We should continue. Yes, God does not need our money, but we, on our side, we need to give money to God for His work, for His move, and so to deliver ourselves from the loving of the money. Now, in the beginning, concerning this morning's meeting, I originally, like as late as yesterday, I thought I would tell you a number of very interesting testimonies concerning my experience of giving money or not giving money, and some of testimony and stories is quite interesting. So I originally like to, because I don't want you to be too tight. Let's have some good time. So I had a number of very interesting testimonies to share with you. But yesterday morning, when I was had my time with the Lord, it seems the Lord very clearly spoke to me, tomorrow, don't share those interesting testimonies. Okay, so since the Lord don't want me to tell this all these interesting stories, so I will save that for some other times. But the Lord clearly mentioned to me that He wants me to share this verse, John chapter 4:24. Okay, let's all read this verse together. God is spirit, and those who worship him spirit and usefulness. Okay, this verse is extremely important. You all know I like Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And I thank the Lord, most of you can recite Genesis 1, 26. But this morning I would say this verse, John chapter 4, verse 4, is equally important as Genesis 1, 26. I really hope that all of you will recite this verse. I hope that you can recite this verse as fluent as you recite Genesis 1:26. So hopefully next time I have opportunity to see you and we can all recite this verse together. Or maybe we recite this verse now, okay? So, God is spirit, and those who worship why this is so important? We know God created us, and not only God created us in our body, we also have what? We also have the many organs, and each organ has its function. That's why we can live, right? So God is wise. Our God is wise, right? And so he knows we all have to use our what? We all need to use our right organ to touch the right things, right? Okay. Now here, this verse tells us clearly. First thing, God is spirit. God is spirit. Therefore, if we want to contact God, or worship God, we must worship him in what? In our spirit. God is spirit. Therefore, for us to know God, to worship him, to fellowship with him, we need to use our spirit. When God created us, not only put many organs in our body, he specifically also created a human spirit within us. So we will have the right kind of organ to contact God. You know, when we preach the gospel, very often the unbelievers will say, "Where is God? If you show me God, I will believe him." No, we have to tell them, God is spirit. Our physical eyes cannot see him. So you need to use the human spirit inside you. Then you use the correct organ. If you don't use the correct organ, you cannot touch this. Just like to anything, if you want to touch anything, we need to use the correct organ, right? Now I can see so many things here. Oh, I see Maria I has a green clothes on. And so if I close my eyes, I want to use my ear. Oh, Maria has a green clothes. But how come I cannot hear it? And then maybe, what? Why, if I close my ear, who said Maria had green hurt? How come I did not see any green color? Well, that is because I used the wrong organ. I should not use my ear. Try to hear. Does Maria has green clothes? No. Why? That's because I used the wrong organ. And in the past, in my past Christian life, 70 years, 5 times, mainly some older ones, three of them were from different denominations. 2 of them were in the Lord's Recovery. They gave the same kind of testimony. And what testimony? These 5, you know, remember, it's in the past 70 years. It does not happen often. They gave this testimony. They said, I prayed to God. I said, God, please reveal yourself to me. Then when I opened my eyes, I see an old man with long beard, a white beard, and jumped through the window inside. I thank the Lord that he answered my prayers. When he tried to, or she tried to give this kind of testimony, then I often want to pour some cold water on him. I said, do you know? Our God will never become, he's internal. No, if it is a God, he's live forever. And he will not grow old. And then they said, yeah, then how come I saw him? I said, I don't know. But I just don't know. But definitely one thing I know. If you see someone whose hair is white, whose beard is long, definitely he's not God. Then sometimes people also argue with me. You know, in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, you see that the Lord Jesus appeared, right? And so he had white hairs, right? Not only he had white hairs, but if people say, you see that the Lord did have white hairs. But that is because it is in the Revelation, and all those are signs. That is at the end of this age. And if you say that, then how come this Christ also had white hair? Well, I tell you that is on the end, and that white hair is a sign, has spiritual meaning. If you say that he has the white hair, you should also say the Bible, the Revelation, also said that his 2 eyes will have fires coming out. And also, his 2 feet will be bronze feet because he came to judge us. And so, is that God you saw? So, don't deceive ourselves. And so, whatever they saw, I don't know. So yeah, they also asked me, then what did I see? I said, I really don't know who you see. I only know that one is not God. But the more I look at that, the more I feel very, very scary. But anyway, my whole point is, I don't blame those saints, the elderly saints, but because we did not help them to use the right organ. They tried to use their physical eyes, tried to see, can God jump in this old man? No, don't use that organ. We need to use what? We have, the Lord has created an organ inside of us, our human spirit. We should use this organ to contact God. This is what this verse, John chapter 4, verse 24, is mentioned. How about we read this again? God is spirit. And no spirit sits in. No spirit sits in. So here you can see. The first, God is spirit. That spirit is capital letter, refers to God. Then those who worship God must use what? Spirit. Now that spirit is not capital letter. It is small letter. That refers to our human spirit. Therefore, if you really want to know, then someone may say, why you can easily touch God, but I try to touch God, I never could touch him. That all depends whether you can exercise your human spirit or not. Now, if you do not exercise your human spirit, then that means you did not use the right organ, then you will never know God. If you really have the heart to know God, you need to exercise your spirit and to touch. That's the right organ to touch the to touch God. I hope this is clear, right? But I still, based on many things, talking, I'm afraid many of us, maybe you have been in the church many years, but still it's not very clear about this matter of the spirit. Someone calls spirit this way, some call spirit that way. Now, concerning spirit, there are two things. One is to release the spirit. That is one thing. Another thing is to exercise the spirit. That's another thing. Now, sometimes if you feel very depressed and very low, you want to release the spirit. But then you might shout, you might read the verses very loudly. That is not exercise the spirit. That is the release the spirit. But what is to exercise the spirit? We know, again, God created us with different things, many parts. And even like our soul has three very important things and organs. And one is our mind. We can think or remember things. One is mind. Another one is emotion. And so we can love, we can hate. That is emotion. And the third thing is what? No, will. To make decisions. So our soul had these three things, and each one has its function. Our spirit also has three things. Now, these three things, each one also has its function. Now, the first thing is our conscience. When God created us, God did create a conscience within us. Now, how do we know we have conscience? Can you see conscience? Can you take conscience to show? Well, it all depends on your experience. And so, I just use one example. That once there's a brother from Taiwan to the United States, and he was very poor, so he's life was quite difficult, and but he had a cousin, and so he went to his cousin's room, and there was nobody there. Then he opened the drawer, He saw a lot of money there. Then she said, the house is empty, nobody. So then he picked up the all this money, put in his pocket, and quietly left. Nobody knows. And then, outwardly speaking, he should not feel afraid. No one, it was a time, it was, nobody was there, no one could see, and then he could not, well, he's, in other words, he was very safe. So he could use all this money to whatever he wanted. But very strange. He did not feel peace. He said, he tried to convince himself, even talk to the law. You know, my cousin is very rich, and he actually should give the money to me anyway, but he did not want to. You know, he's so sticky, the money, give some money to me is right, but he just couldn't sleep. What is this? That is conscience. But in today's society, very sad to say, many people can do different things, even many things more serious than this brother. Yet, their conscience is numbed. Regardless how much they offend God, they offend men, they offend this, offend that, but yet they do not have any feeling. So that means their conscience is numbed. That is very serious problem. Okay. So this is first, we all have a conscience. If you really want to know God, if you really want to contact God, you have to exercise your conscience. So conscience is one thing. Then the second thing is intuition. Intuition is a kind of feeling directly coming from the spirit. It's not the same as what people, the worldly people, talk about the sixth sense. No, forget about the sixth sense. But in our, deep down within us, in our human spirit, we do have intuition, the feeling, the God through our human spirit to give to us. So you have the conscience, you have the intuition. Another thing, the third thing is fellowship. This fellowship is both to God and also to one another. In other words, we have the vertical fellowship and also horizontal fellowship, also in our spirit. So when we say exercise our spirit, is to pay attention to the intuition and also the fellowship and also the conscience. This is the what is the exercising the spirit. So I hope that this is clear. So I just have this today. I just have burden to just share this, and to me, this is something extremely important, because again, if we want to save, if you want to serve the Lord, especially to serve the Lord in the church, none of us can serve by ourselves according to our natural life, according to our own opinion. None of us. Then how should we serve? Then we have to use our human spirit continuously to contact God's spirit, and that's the only way for us to serve in the church. If you don't want to serve in the church, if you want to do things other places, then that's maybe that does not apply But if you, anyone, including you, including me, want to serve in the church, we have no other way but to exercise our spirit to contact God's spirit. Then the church really is under the Lord's control. We say, Lord, Lord. And in the Bible, when the Lord comes back, very often, you say, Lord, Lord, but actually, I don't know you. So we want to be the people that we can be known by God. So that's why I feel that really, when the Lord asked me to share these things today, that shows how much our Lord wants all of us to learn to use our human spirit, to have fellowship with Him, and to love Him, and to have to fellowship, and to really know each other, and to really love each other, really understand each other. This is what God wants to have today with us. So this is what I burden I have today. I just briefly share this, and so whoever wants to share anything. I'm sorry, Brother Ed. I could never forget him. Okay.
We're three together. What I would like to share follows what our brother shared. So I don't have to repeat how we need to exercise our spirit in order to cover what I will share very quickly. First of all, maybe we could turn to John 16:13. Gospel of John 16:13. We will just read the beginning up to the word reality. Just that. But when He, the Spirit of reality, comes, He will guide you to all the reality. So this is the point. A brother shared how we need to exercise our human spirit. But within our spirit is the Spirit of God. So it's not just our spirit. When we exercise our spirit, we contact the Spirit of God, as we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Now, the point is that the Spirit of God has a particular function concerning the Word. How do we know God? We know God by the Word. But the Spirit of God is the Spirit of reality. And He will guide us into all the reality. What is the point here? Christ needs to be real in our experience, in our daily life. If Christ is not real, what good is all the doctrine, all the teaching? Yes, we need the doctrine. Yes, we need the teaching. Don't misunderstand. We need reality. Amen. This is what I want. I want reality. And this reality to be Christ Himself. And for this, I need to exercise my spirit. And the Spirit of reality will make Christ real to me. The Lord wants to be real to us. In every situation, in our daily living, in small little details, He wants to be real to us. So whenever we exercise our spirit, our precious beloved bridegroom is real. So how wonderful this is, that the Lord Jesus Christ can be real to us. But then let us go for a few minutes to the second part, Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Again, here we only have half a verse, up to the word prize. Let's read it together. Let no one defraud you by judging you unworthy of your prize. Now here, of course, we have verses 16 and 17 before verse 18. Verse 16 tells us that no one should judge us concerning eating and drinking or in respect, here's the point, of a feast, of a new moon, or of the Sabbath. This were rituals of Judaism, which were actually a shadow of Christ. Christ is the reality of what the Jews practice in their religion. So the shadows are not what we want. We want the reality. So verse 18 tells us, let no one defraud you by judging you unworthy of your prize. What is our prize? Our prize is Christ. But a further step, not Christ only as reality, but Christ as our enjoyment. I give a homely illustration. We've had dinner at home. It's time for dessert. I'm sitting at the head of the table, and very near me is a chocolate cake. And my wife wields the instrument to cut the cake. And this is very real. I see it. I could touch it. But I can't enjoy it. And then all of a sudden she starts talking to everybody and giving out the cake. And where's my piece? I enjoy so much. This morning we sang hymn 223. He is our portion. In the cup of blessing is the portion that Adam lost. So the Lord not only wants us to experience Him as reality, but also to experience Him as our enjoyment. So we need to heed this warning. Let no one defraud you. Whatever we see, whatever we hear, exercising the right organs, of course, should not defraud us. No one should defraud us from enjoying the Lord. You know, it's so easy to be carried away, even by the Bible, the wonderful verses, the Greek, the Hebrew, the this, the that. And you end up without having reality, without having enjoyment. How I pray that we can all be aware that the enemy would not defraud us from enjoying our precious Lord. That he would not be merely a teaching. That he would not be merely a doctrine. But He will be our enjoyment. I must say, I want the enjoyment. Amen. Lord Jesus, I love you. Amen. That He could be real to us in our daily situations, in whatever we go through. That we would not be hindered, we would not be distracted, and especially, we would not be defrauded. But rather, we would exercise our spirit to contact the Lord. And by the spirit of reality, He will become real. And then we can love Him and enjoy Him. So now will be the time to pray. And those going to the language meetings will do so. And then it will be your turn to share. However, a little PS. A number of times, people have complained to me. For instance, I asked someone, oh, did you hear that precious sharing for brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so? I was too far. I couldn't hear. So, in order for all of us to hear, we will have two mics. And we would ask the saints to come forward to the mics to share. And at the very beginning, I trust that some brothers will come to strengthen the burden. Let us pray.